It's hard to go through a week spending time with people that you don't hear them say those phrases. One of the phrases is, okay, maybe we should put a big sign up out there. One of the phrases is, I love this. Another phrase, I hate this. And I think a lot of times people just use those phrases without really putting a lot of thinking effort into it, what they're saying. I love this. I love that. Some will say, I love football. I love sports. I just hate when this happens. Oh, I hate this. I hate that. I think we all do from time to time. But you know, it's very important to us who are children of God to love the right and to hate the wrong when it really comes down to spiritual things. I am convinced that the Bible teaches in Psalms 97, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13, Romans 12, verse number 9. Those verses teach us about hating things as evil, not being a part of things that are wrong. John chapter 15, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, where Moses commanded people to love God. John chapter 2, verse number 15, John commanded people love not the world. In John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another. See, as children of God, as Christians, we have to be careful as to what we love and what we hate. So tonight and the next two Sunday afternoons, yeah. Robert, you won't hear this. I guess you have to catch the tape when you come back. We're going to be dealing on the subject of things I love. Things I love. Things that people really love are things that they usually get involved in. Things that they really put the whole self into. And things that they love are things that are somewhat precious to them. And they take care of it and they don't want it to be damaged. And all those things, a lot of interest is placed on things in which they love. But from a spiritual standpoint, as Christians, as children of God, there are things in which we all have a great love for. A great love for. And some of the things are the church, the word, the work of the church. If we could line those things up, put forth a lot of effort, love those, oh, how the church would change. Oh, how things would get done. You know, Rich and I was talking, I guess it was Thursday morning over breakfast, we kind of mentioned maybe, sometimes people really just don't have the true love for a church as they should at times, and that could be why they neglect to do this or don't do that or even push things aside. Things I love. Question is, do you love the church? I remember some years ago in a book written, probably about 8 or 9 years ago, and one of the articles there in the book was called Why I Love the Church. And this person did an excellent job as to give me some reason as to why he loved the church. And that stayed with me and stuck in my head as to why he loved the church. And sometimes I think all of us from time to time need to stop and sit down and examine ourselves and see, do we really love the church? Or have we taken the church for granted? Are we just clocking in 3 times a week and leaving? Do we really love the church? I think sometimes we as men, probably most guilty of this, is sometimes we take our wives for granted, don't we? We do until they're gone. Now let them take a couple weeks off, then we realize, oh, wait a minute. I really miss her. I really love her. I really need her. Sometimes I think it's that way with the Lord's church. Sometimes I'm convinced that Lord's people just take the church for granted and maybe display an attitude that is not of true love for the church. Things I love. Brothers and sisters, you and I ought to have a love for the church. We ought to love the Lord's church. This is the church in which Jesus died for, the church in which Jesus shed his blood for, the church in which Jesus purchased with his own blood. This is the church in which you and I ought to express our love for. Things I love. First of all, tonight, we're going to ponder on the thought that we ought to love the church. My love for the church could grow stronger, and maybe your love for the church could grow stronger, and maybe it would be displayed in more things that we do, more things we're involved with, more concern about the Lord's people in the Lord's church. We ought to love the church. One of the greatest reasons is because of his founder. When I look through the pages of the scriptures, I'm amazed. It gives me joy when you look at the founder of the church. It bothers me when I'm watching television and the news announcer, or maybe in the paper they're right, the head of the church. Pope, the head of the church. Well, you know, he may be the head of the Catholic church, but the Lord's church that's found in the scripture, Jesus is the founder of the church. You go and you check your history on some of these denominations that are sitting around each and every corner, you can track it down to who is the founder of it. And the founder is not Jesus Christ. For the Lord's church that we are a part of, this church in which we ought to love with all of our heart, is the church in which Jesus is the founder of. Why I love the church? Why we ought to love the Lord's church is because of its great founder. Hundreds of years prior to the church coming into existence, Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 prophesied of a great kingdom, of a kingdom that would be established and would stand forever, says Daniel. Throughout the pages of the prophet, they spoke of the church coming. Then in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus makes a promise here that he would build his church. And when you look in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem, and power from on high will come. And when you turn there, and then you wind up there in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. There in Acts chapter 2, you find Peter preaching this great sermon, and the people ask, "What must they do to be saved?" And Peter tells them they need to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And then they're baptized. And then you drop down in Acts chapter 2, down to verse number 47, says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord," having favor with all the people, "and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now the church there in existence, prophesied by Daniel, promised by Jesus, comes into existence. Who's the founder of this church? Jesus. Are we part of this church? Yes, we are. We ought to be proud of that. We ought to love this church because of its founder. We ought to do nothing that we can to harm or to hurt or to bring shame upon this church. It is the Lord's church. Things I love. Maybe I need to stop and stand back. Examine my love for the Lord's church. I love the church, and hopefully you love the Lord's church because of its founder. Because of its founder. Stop and you think of another reason that you can give as to why you love the Lord's church. Maybe it's because of its head. Because of its head. That's another question that has been asked to me several times is, who's the head of the church where you attend? Where is the head office at? Last time I read about the head office, it was in heaven. Last time I heard about the head, he was in heaven. And people look at you real strange and say, what are you talking about? Isn't that what the scriptures teach? That this blessed church that Jesus died for, he purchased with his own blood. This blessed church in which I am to love is a church that its head is Christ. He is the head of this church. We ought to be happy and thankful for that. In Colossians chapter 1, it's made very clear that there is no earthly head of the Lord's church. Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, verse number 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If you flip over to Colossians, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this is not the only time. In this very same book, if you flip to chapter 5, sorry, verse number 23, when Paul begins to compare Jesus' relationship with the church and the husband and wife relationship, Paul says, starting at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband and everything. Paul says, look here, that Christ is head of the church. We as members ought to be subject to Christ and his authority. Why I love the church? Well, we all love the church because of his head. It's not an earthly head. His head is Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son. Therefore, being the head, it cannot lead us in the wrong path. If I go wrong and make a mistake and do something sinful, it's not because of Jesus' leadership. It's not because of Jesus being the head of the church and he's giving me wrong instructions by the scriptures. It's because of my own lustful desires and my rebellion. Oh yes, we all love the church. Things I love, we all to have a love for the church because of his head, which is Jesus. Things I love, we should love the church. Some would say, well, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. It's just obvious. Everyone loves the church. Well, people, if you look around at some of the things that's going on in the Lord's church, I don't believe everyone loves the church. I see people breaking them up, causing them to split. I see people standing in the midst of the Lord's church teaching false doctrine. I've seen members, I've heard of members, I know of members walking out, leaving doesn't display love. Lord's church, there are people, there's members trying to change things that the head, Jesus, has already established. That's not love for the Lord's church. Love for the Lord's church would be to display an attitude of submission to the head. Things I love, you and I, if we love the Lord's church, we will be in submission to the scriptures. To the head of the Lord's church, which is Jesus. I think I can come up with a third reason as to why. I love the church. Why we should love the church. Things I love. We should love the church because of its stand for truth. Because of its stands for truth. I don't know about you all, but I'm kind of a blessing to be a member of the Reagan Road Church of Christ here in Canal, Winchester. As I look around and I see a lot of the Lord's churches have strayed from the truth. In simple English, a lot of the Lord's churches are in error. I'm thankful, I'm proud to be a part of this congregation, a congregation which have decided that we're going to stand for truth because we love the Lord's church. But this church, the Lord's church, it's a blessing to be a part of it because it stands for truth. And when you look at Titus chapter 2, verse number 1, it teaches that the doctrine that we should teach be that which is healthy doctrine. Doctrine which is good. See, as the Lord's church takes a stand for truth and teach those things that are healthy for the body spiritually, that's great. It's good. That's right. Why I love the church? Well, I love the church because it stands for truth. And it hurts me, and I'm quite sure it hurts you when you hear or you read about or you find out about one of the Lord's churches have gone in error. I'm quite sure you don't rejoice to know that some of the Lord's churches have turned away from truth. Hopefully it bothers you, that it hurts you, that you begin to pray hoping that they would return. Because see, the Lord's church is supposed to be the pillar of truth, standing up for that which is right. Why? I love the Lord's church because it stands for truth. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now what Paul says to the church at Ephesus, start at verse number 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. What encouraging words and commandments from Paul to the church at Ephesus, that they not be tossed here and about. Every doctrine that comes along, how would they not do that? They would not do it by holding on to truth. See, the Lord's church is not to be a church that follows everything that comes about, jumps on every bandwagon of doctrine that comes along. I've said this evening that what has happened in the Lord's church is that some of our brethren have begun to peep over the walls of denominationalism. Some have jumped over there and grabbed something and tried to bring it back into the Lord's church. Just don't work. Can't work. Should not work. See, after you love the Lord's church, you would be part of those who stand on truth and truth only, and not a denomination, traditional teaching of men. We find that being condemned in Matthew chapter 15 by Jesus. In Romans chapter 16, In Romans chapter 16, sorry, verse number 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to their doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul writes to the church at Rome, encouraging them and also warning them not to follow along with doctrines that are contrary to the things of what they have learned. If they go along with those things, then they would cease to be true teachers. But see, the Lord's church is a church that stands and holds on the truth. And that's why we ought to love the Lord's church, because it stands for truth. When the church stands up for truth and not changed and converted by the world, then that church, Lord's church, then it shines, as Ephesians chapter 5, 27 speaks of, a glorious church. Lord's church is a glorious church when it takes a stand and teach the things that are right and stands on truth. We ought to love Lord's church. Because it stands for truth. Being part of the Lord's church, each one of us, we must stand for truth. Never compromise. Never say, well, you're right and I'm right and we all are right and we're all going down the same path. We're not. Fourthly, think about the things that I love. I love the church, fourthly, because of the many blessings that I've enjoyed in the church. When I stop and I look over 20-some years being a member of the Lord's church, and all the blessings, all the things I've learned, and all the spiritual blessings that I've enjoyed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 speaks of all spiritual blessings being in Christ Jesus. When I think of that, I think of that one of the great spiritual blessings that you and I enjoy is salvation. When we look in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, those praising God, having favor with all men, and those who are saved were added to the church. So where are the saved found? In the church. It's a blessing for the Lord's church. And one of the blessings of that is that I'm saved. As long as I follow his teachings and be obedient to the teachings that we find in Scripture, all is well. Do you love the church? Do you love it because of spiritual blessing that you enjoy in the church? Spiritual blessing of salvation. How about the spiritual blessing of forgiveness of sins? When you read 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, and John teaches there, if you sin, go to the Father and confess those sins, he will forgive you. The blessing it is to be in the Lord's church. That as a member of the Lord's church, I can go to the Father through the Son and repent of my sin and ask for forgiveness and move on. I love the church. We all ought to love the church. Because of the spiritual blessings we enjoy in the church. As members of the Lord's church, we have the privilege to go to God in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Paul there, he encouraged the church at Colossae to continue in prayer. Not only that, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, he even asked for prayer for himself and those who were with him, that doors would open, that opportunity would come about, that he could make known of the things that he should teach to those people. I love the church because as a member of the Lord's church, I can enjoy the blessing of being able to go to the Father. And not only that, I can enjoy the blessing that you, being a member of the Lord's church, you can go to the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. It's encouraging, as I've said once before, it's very encouraging to know that you're praying for me. Things I love. Do you love the church? Do you love the church because of the many blessings you enjoy as being a member of the church? One of the final blessings that you and I will enjoy in the Lord's church, if we remain faithful, Paul speaks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says in verse number 7, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Paul says this crown of righteousness, eternal life that God has waiting for him in heaven, is not only for himself, but for all who love his appearing. The only way you're going to love his appearing is that you love the Lord's church. And maybe you love the Lord's church because of the spiritual blessings that's found in it. Those who remain faithful, blessed hope of eternal life. Philippians chapter 3. Paul again brings forth that idea in Philippians chapter 3. So verse number 20. For our citizenship is not in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. Paul says, our citizenship is not here, but in heaven. We're encouraging words to the church of Philippi. We're encouraging words to you and I as children of God, as members of this glorious church. One of the blessings is that we remain faithful. We too. We have heaven as our home. Things I love. Do we really love the church? Do we love it because of its founder? Maybe we love the church because of the one who's head of it, Christ. I love the church because of its stand for truth. I love the church because of the many spiritual blessings we find as being a member of the Lord's church. Do you really love the church? If you're here as a member of the Lord's church and you're involved in sin, stop and think about this. Do you really love the church? Need to repent of it. Turn away from it. Come back to the Lord. Jesus said, John chapter 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love the church? Do you love the Lord? Do you love your soul? You're here and you're not a member of the church. Same question goes to you. Do you love your soul? Are you concerned about your spiritual eternity? Hopefully, stop and you'll think this thing over. Make the right decision. For the scripture says that you can become a Christian. You can start that journey and serving God. You can start that journey displaying your love for the church, displaying your love for Jesus, displaying your love for his commandments by hearing the word of God, things you've heard from the scriptures, by believing them, by repenting, turning away from the sins in your life, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and going one more step, being baptized, having all your sins washed away, rising up, this new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, starting a new journey with a great desire to love God, to love the church, to love Christ, and to love your soul, do all you can, and in submission to God's words. Things I love. Do you really love Christ? Do you really love his church? Do you really love where you're headed spiritually? Stop and think about it. I can't change your mind. Only you can make the decision. Remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 24, I think. Where Joshua says, for he and his household, they've made their minds up. They're going to serve God. Now, what about the rest of you all? So what are you going to do? Stop and you think about it. It's today to make the right decision. Serve God. Blessing.